Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio discussing Terrorize Study, Wishing Forward, 7 Moments Jesus Prayed. In the last 3 weeks, we've actually been in the book of Luke, chapter 11, in the first 13 verses. I think we've made it to about 4. That's pretty good. and I think because the topic is Jesus modeling prayer to the disciples. And we've just had such great discussion because so many of us have had to learn how to pray and just the importance of understanding just that prayer. And I think Tara did a great job saying hope, or I don't know, you can repeat it because I had it written down, but I can't.
You're so cute. Right. And it would be, you know, the first three deal with our relationship with God. The last three deal with our lives, what needs to happen in our lives so that we can be focused where we can draw near to God. And I think it's very sweet, you know, that God would have us first look at him as holy, and then he would have us examine his kingdom, and then for his will, and then he takes us to the point where it's, okay, I've drawn near to him, I've done what I can to be intimate with him, and then it's okay for me to bring up that I have some needs. You know, I don't feel so good today, God. Can you help me feel better? You know, that would be a manna moment, okay? It could be, you know, so whatever your daily bread is that you need in that moment, it's okay to bring that to God. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, Jesus says we should pray it. But the next point, I'm going to point out the reason why Jesus had to teach this is because Jesus would never model this. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. This is really important. Nowhere in Scripture will we ever see Jesus confess sin. Never. Not once. And that's the reason why he had to teach us how to do it. Because they would not learn from him because he would not do it because he had no sin. We're told that in Hebrews. And so Jesus had to tell them, you must ask for forgiveness of your
sins.
Wow,
that is huge. That's a revelation right there. That's pretty amazing.
I know. Is that incredible? And so he had to tell them, you have to ask for it. And see, the thing is when it comes to forgiveness, God gave me insight into this a couple of months ago. We're never to ask that we forgive ourselves. Scripture does not tell us that to forgive ourselves. Scripture says, ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. If it's about me forgiving me, guess who is in control?
Me.
Do you see how that is a ploy of Satan? How often have I can't even tell you countless times throughout my lifetime, I've had somebody say to me, including myself, say, okay, until God convicted me 3 or 4 months ago on this, I just need to forgive myself. Have you ever, it says, I have forgotten my past. Mm-hmm. I have forgotten that which is behind, and I'm only pressing towards what is ahead. Right. The reason why we can say I have forgotten what is behind is because what is behind, if I have confessed it, is forgiven, period. Mm. It has nothing to do with me forgiving me. It has nothing to do with me. It's been forgiven by holy, intimate God, whose kingdom, I'm going to start crying,
I know, I love
has
that.
Come. And his will has been done, and that is that through his son on the cross, we have been made, given away to be in his presence. Is that amazing or what?
Well, it just shows how our world has totally twisted that.
Yeah.
Because, all about us.
Because once again, it's all about us, that if we have the power, we have the control, it's just, we've made ourselves a temple and not the temple of God that he desires to be living in. It just makes it very clear why everything is falling apart in our world.
And it's a lie that is from the, as our dear Tanya would say, from the pit of hell. and it has infiltrated Christendom. Mm-hmm. It has infiltrated self-help books. Mm-hmm. It has infiltrated so much in the counseling world, and it's not scriptural. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we do it as Jesus says. And he says, we pray, you know, forgive us our sins. We need to be forgiven. Forgive me of my sins. God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Mm-hmm. And then for us also to forgive everyone who sins against us. Because if we know what forgiveness is, we cannot hold against another. Because if we're holding against another, guess what? I'm back in control again. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm bigger than God's sovereignty. Hello. And God says Jesus died on the cross for all sin, for all man. It doesn't matter what the sin is. And so I have no right to hold sin in my heart. Ooh, that's my responsibility. And so I'm going to give you guys some verses this time, and I'd like for you to look them up. Sabrina, first off, we'll start off with about Jesus. You do Mark 14:36, and Shelley, I'll have you do Galatians 4:6, Sandy, Romans 8:15, and then I'll do 1 Peter 1:17. And what we're going to do is we're looking at how the calling on to God, okay, because he's given us the call to call upon him. And I want us to see examples of what we have in calling towards the Father.
You said Mark 13.
14:36.
14, wow, I was way off.
14. That's all right.
14:36, and this is from the NIV. The men seized Jesus and arrested him.
Uh-oh. I don't think I gave you the right verse. I wrote it down.
You know what?
Mark 14:36.
I read it wrong.
Okay.
I just wanted everyone to laugh. Okay. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
Amen. Okay. Galatians 4:6.
Okay. 4:6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father.
Mm. All right. Sandy, do Romans 8:15.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Mm. Mm. And 1 Peter 1:17, since you call on Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Okay. These all are passages when the Abba Father is used, which is an example of hallowed be thy name, mm-hmm. Holy Father. And in that, I want you to see and recognize you are sons. You're my children. You have the Spirit of God in you. And he calls upon the intimate nature of God. He cries out, Abba Father. And because he cries out, Abba Father, I can call out to Abba Father, knowing that he is impartial and that I need not be afraid. And I was in the car this morning. I was talking with my daughter. Michaela and I were talking, and she's almost 16, and she's driving. And I'll have to confess, you know, a spirit of fear comes upon me when I'm in the car with her, learning as she's learning. And we were just discussing how there's, you know, that it would be so easy to allow ourselves to make choices and do things based on fear, but that even in this, even in learning how to drive a car at 15 and a half, I can't do that in fear because mm-hmm. I have been called out and I can call on Abba Father and not have a spirit of fear upon me. And that's a freedom that we have in Christ. That is one aspect of deliverance that he has given us, okay? And I really felt like it was important that I bring that into this point in the series because I am thinking that the reason why so many people struggle with prayer, so many people struggle with intimacy with the Father, so many don't take the time to confess the sins and ask for forgiveness and for deliverance is because they're afraid. Mm. They're afraid. They're afraid they're not good enough. They're afraid they're not going to be accepted. They're afraid of so many things in their life that aren't true because he loves you. He sent his son for you, that we need not be afraid. He calls you sons and daughters, adopted, a holy nation. And so I want that first and foremost to be in the mind. So get rid of the fear. You have to get rid of the fear so that you can draw into the intimacy that's given. And then the next aspect is that we have to think through that, okay, this concept of forgiveness, you know, and walking towards forgiveness. And so if I know him, as holy and set apart, if I know him as impartial and that he judges all men for what men do, and I'm trusting the sovereignty of who he is, that enables me to step out of the position of judge when somebody's in a circumstance where I really want to judge them. It really removes us. Because if I really recognize God as judge and mm-hmm. as sovereign Lord, I don't have to place myself in that position. And I can remember, I remember that being really profound for me in my 20s, you know, realizing I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not their judge. And removing that from my hand now, do I go into that and sin? Yes, I'm human. But I remember being just profoundly impacted that I had no right to hold against certain people in my lives for certain my life for certain circumstances, because God is sovereign and he allowed those circumstances to happen because he knew how my character would grow because of what happened. And so he knew I would be one that would stand the test and move forward and become better in Christ instead of bitter in man. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so, didn't mean to use a cliche, but having us do that. And so as we are looking at that, and I want us to be thinking through the corporateness of it. When you think on forgiveness, why would he have it be that at this point he wants them to understand it's us and not me? Mm. And I want you to think of community. Okay, the body of Christ, the church. Why would he want us to understand it's not just me?
Well, I think that what creeps into any body or any fellowship is strife and division. And I think he wants us to understand when we're quick to forgive, then those things can't divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's and, good.
You know, so.
Oh, that's good.
Well, because I think all of us are in, you know, we're in different bodies, we're in different churches. And Tara told me from the very beginning, there'll be people that aren't nice to you at church. They'll be your greatest enemies in church as well as out of church. And I'm realizing that now. It's not them. It's the sin that's dividing us, because, you know, the enemy doesn't want great things to happen in our bodies, in the church bodies. And so if he can cause conflict between two, then it'll just start spreading like poison. And so I think that's my interpretation.
Good. That's really good. And that fits into the next prayer, which is deliver us from evil, and depending on the translation, temptation. And one of the commentators said that one of the main questions that theologians and pastors are asked, why would I have to pray to God to ask God for him not to deliver me from temptation? Because scripture says that God cannot be tempted and God will not tempt. And it has to do with that it's probably the translation of this actually in the original language would have been better worded if they would have remained leaving it stating, deliver us from evil. It is literally talking about the minions, dominions, legions, the aspects that are trying to destroy our drawing near to God, okay? And so the temptation to anything that could hinder us, so whether it's the world, the flesh, or self, okay, the three areas that we can have, temptation, trial, tribulation, you know, the enemy attack us, you know? And so as we think through that deliverance, And so when you said that with the church, it made me think, you know, that's exactly it. It's why we have to have that deliverance.
Well, we have to always be, once again, purposeful, not making agreements with the enemy. When he comes in and says, this person doesn't have your best interest. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you know, you'll be better off by yourself or at a different church or doing these things on your own. And then we just come in and buckle up arms.
Yeah.
And God, you know, and then the intimacy in prayer is completely ruined.
Yeah.
Because we're running down a different path now.
Right. And so in our day, I mean, how often do you think praying, deliver me from evil? I mean, honestly, I mean, that I don't think that is something that we naturally think we've got to be praying against. But that needs to be a part of our daily, regular, without ceasing, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from being a source of evil, that I'm not a trial or a tribulation or a test for somebody, because I am. But deliver me as well from those that are coming my way. And you know, the battlefield of the mind, Joyce Myers, I love that title of that book. And it's so the mind, true. You know, the world can be going and then the mind can be doing its thing, and that we have to say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. You know, I'm just not going to allow that to happen.
And Tara, I mean, we have to be bold in speaking it. I mean, not only to ourselves, but just in the flesh and, you know.
I mean,
bold enough to say, stop. I don't want to hear it. If you have something to say about anybody, you need to go talk to that person.
Amen.
About
Amen.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I love it. I love it. And not being afraid to even look at somebody and saying, you know what, you need to say, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's not easy.
No,
that's not easy. Not. Especially if it's a friend.
Yeah,
and it happens.
I know. And it does. And
but
it
God
does.
Gives us the grace for the moment.
He yes. does. And you know, and it also means, and I can testify to this in the last month, and that when I have spoken truth into the life in love, scriptural truth in love, it means that we have friends that will walk away. Yeah. And not just walk away from us, but walk away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope if you're listening, love, that you come back.
Mm. And I just want to say, before we have a couple more minutes left, and just to share this quick testimony, because Tara and I traveled on a trip together, and I'll never forget this. We were in a buffet line, and I didn't get the buffet, but Tara did. And I wanted some of what she took from the buffet, even though I didn't order it. I'm like, well, I can get a bagel. You ordered the buffet, so we should be okay. And she looked at me and she said, if God can't trust you with the little things, he won't trust you with the big things. And I will never, ever, ever forget that, even though it was done in love.
Yeah,
it was an admonishment to me, because she was speaking truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, some friends wouldn't even have said anything. They'd be like, yeah, go ahead and have the bagel. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that she taught me at that moment that in love you can teach somebody the truth, and it's the package that it's presented in.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we know when we're loved. Mm-hmm. And see, the thing is if we're doing it in his holiness, and we're doing it with his kingdom mindedness for eternal purposes, that love for his will be evident.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a jealous love as in a selfishness about me. Mm. It's a jealous love for righteousness.
Right.
That's holiness. And when we're jealous for someone's righteousness, that's undeniable, because that's how God loves us. He's jealous for righteousness in us. And that's when we know we've done what we're supposed to do. We're so glad you've been listening to this section about drawing near to God and how to pray. I think it's one I need to go back and listen to a couple of times. God bless.